something that happened and said, one of her friends who stays somewhere has got a daughter that's 6 years old. And that little girl, she was continuously asking her mother, you know, when's it going to be full moon? And she continued, and you know, her mother, she didn't really bother to listen. But when she continued just to ask this question, she said, but why do you want to know when it's full moon? And she said, yeah, but Jesus says that he's coming to visit Africa, and the next day it will be full moon. And you know, I was kind of, and that was the 21st, 22nd of September. You know, and I was looking forward to that, because I wanted to see the thunder and the brimstone and fire and whatever, you know, because of this visitation of the Lord. But before that day came, you know, I know that in the Bible it says, you know, nobody knows when Jesus is coming back, obviously. If anybody says that, they're stupid and silly. But I knew that God was going to do something. And I actually told somebody, when they asked me what I think it was going to be, I just said, I think Jesus is going to move in the Spirit. And, you know, since that time, in the middle of September, God has been working in His church globally, especially in Africa. You know, everywhere you hear the same message coming from different people, from different churches. Everybody's saying the same thing. The Spirit's moving. And it's as if God is just awakening us to His Spirit and to what His Spirit wants to do through us. And I'm really excited, you know. God is good. But anyway, that was just something on the side. It's not what I'm going to preach about tonight. But I'm really excited what God is doing. And and if you thought that you were not going to be part of this, then I've got news for you. You are part of it. You are in the church. So you are part of it. You can choose not to be a part of it. Sit and do nothing. But God is really challenging us, you know, in a universal sense, to say, come on, church. Get out there. Stop holy huddling. Get out there where your people are, you know, where you are in the world. Start ministering to the people by my Holy Spirit. But anyway, God is starting to do that, and awesome things are happening. Tonight I want to speak to you guys about something else entirely. You know, next weekend, we've got our legacy course, one of those things that Gisela just told us about, our spiritual growth series. And you know, I'm really excited about that too, because you know, God is going to do amazing things in people's lives. Our legacy course is just, you know, emotional healing. And that's what it's about. And we're going to do it in Riebeek. We're going to do it in Afrikaans. So that's why I'm giving you guys a sneak peek tonight. Because obviously most of you don't understand, or some of you don't understand Afrikaans. But don't feel left out. Okay. That's why I'm preaching tonight. But, you know, God is a healer. I don't know if you know that. Okay. But how can you say that? Well, my baby boy, just this afternoon, I don't know what he did, but his ring finger on his left hand, it got caught somewhere that we didn't see, and it started to bleed. And he was crying a lot, but then he stopped crying. But right there, when the blood stopped flowing, his body was already starting to heal itself. And God made us all. And if God was not the healer, then you would just bleed yourself to death. Okay? God is a healer because He made us that way. You know, if something goes wrong in your body, it starts fixing itself, because that's how God wired it. Because God is a healer. Now, before I tell too many things, you know, tonight I'm sharing something that is in my heart. You know, God has done it in my life, and I know you've heard some of my stories before, but For the sake of those who haven't, you know, God comes and He heals us physically, yes, but God comes and He heals us emotionally and spiritually as well. And the big thing that I want to speak about tonight, and I don't have a PowerPoint because I thought that we were not going to have any power, and I didn't think the generator was going to pull that thing. I just wanted it to pull these. So sorry for not having that, but anyway, tonight you can look up in your Bibles when we are going to read a scripture. We have forgotten how to do that, I see, you know, because I don't even come to church when I go to places, you know, and I don't bring my Bible because everything's up there. I can just read it. A nice instant McDonald's generation of ours. But anyway, tonight I'm going to speak about rejection. And, you know, when I wanted to ask the question, but I was going to get a couple of different answers. But that was the one that I was looking for. When you think about things that hurt you most, then you can say, yeah, it's when I knock my head against the wall or whatever. But one of the things that registers very deeply with us as humans is rejection. And, you know, it's a very subtle thing, but Satan knows about it, and he uses it mightily for his kingdom. Because if he can get you in a place where you feel rejected, and we'll get into the details now, then it's kind of like a kink in your system. Something that's not straight. So, when you hear things, it goes through that kink of yours, and then you hear it differently than the intended speaker spoke it to you. Now, my story starts way back, and my father sent us some DVDs that we got on Friday. But I wasn't here on Friday or Saturday, so I only watched it last night, late. It was DVDs of all of our kids, my sister and my brother. You know, all of those kids' little film movies that were on the VHS, cassette players. You know, nobody's got any of those anymore. Weird how things change. But anyway, it was lying there in the gathering dust and stuff, and I just told him that he needs to put those things onto DVD. Otherwise, we're going to lose it forever. But anyways, so I had about 2 hours of just laughing and heimwee. I don't know what that is in English. Memories. But you know, that feeling of, oh, hallelujah. Was I that big or small? So anyway. But then, most of those clips that we watched was in this time where my story starts. It was about, you know, standard grade. Let's go for standard. Standard 3, 4, and 5. So it was between the ages of 10 and 13. You know, and between the ages of 10 and 13, you are very susceptible for whatever comes your way. So what your dad or what your mother or whoever tells you kind of makes an impact on you. And God wanted us to, in certain stages of our lives, He's positioned our fathers, okay, sorry, fathers, but He has positioned us and the mothers in a place where we are supposed to know when those events come along, and then we need to speak a blessing. God is the blesser. He wants to speak a blessing into your identity and who you are. But Satan comes and he wants to distort that, and he just kind of warps it. What happened was I was in school, and there was this guy, and he was kind of envious of me. I don't know really why, because he was good in a lot of things, in athletics and what do you have it, all of it. But he had this thing against me. And then from standard 3 to standard 5, he started to, you know, firstly him, he started to reject me, and then he pulled in all of my friends into his little gang. The Eagles, I think their name were. I was not allowed to be part of the Eagles gang. But he started pulling them away from me one by one. So much so that instead of four, I didn't have any friends of my age group anymore. So I had to go down. I had to make friends with the standard threes. Okay, and instead of five, the fours. So, and, you know, and it was a hectic time in my life because all of a sudden, you know, I've experienced this rejection. Well, that's where I experienced it. Maybe you have got something totally different, you know. There are things that your dad needed to do. And then if your dad was not there, he obviously didn't do it. He might have been there, but he wasn't there emotionally or spiritually for you. So they call it, the big name for it, the absent father syndrome. And then you experience that rejection just like I did when I was little. Anyway, I'll get back to the story a little bit later. But that thing, when you experience that rejection, then something happens in your, yeah. And now you've got choices. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with those feelings that you've got? Now let me read you in Hebrews 12. Let's just have a look at what it says here. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths of your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Okay, so when you in that rejection place, then you're kind of lame. And this guy's speaking into that. Then it says they pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Okay, just on the side there, just going away from it. This whole grace thing that we are in. Hallelujah for the Lord for His grace. It's amazing. But going off on the tangent to the left-hand side now. Being at the right, going all the way like a charismatic to the way to the other side. You know, I can do whatever I want. Because the grace of the Lord is enough for me. And it's fine. You might be arguing that it's great. It says here, pursue peace with all people, and what? And holiness. For without it, you will not be able to see the Lord. So I'm saying, grace is wonderful, but if you're not holy, striving for a holy life, it will be difficult for you to see the Lord. Okay? Anyway, that's just my little 5 cents worth over there. Let's leave it. Let's go on. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And then, the most important part for tonight. Lest any root of bitterness spring up in you, causing trouble. And by this root of bitterness, many become defiled. Lest there be any of you a fornicator or a profane person like Esau. And for one morsel of food, he sold his birthright. But I want to get back to that root of bitterness. When you experience this rejection from somebody, then what registers is, firstly, you get a little bit mad at that person for what he's done. And if you're not careful, that thing goes down and it starts making its roots in bitterness in your life. Because now, because of that person, you've got this kink in your system, and this person has done it to you, so you are angry with him. You are even going to a place where, in your heart, you're going towards bitterness because of what has happened in your life. 7 points here. It says, this wounded thing that I've just started to speak about. There's a couple of steps that we go through when we experience rejection and we don't deal with it. Okay, so tonight when I speak about it, just open your heart, you know. God has got to come sometimes and He needs to deal with our things, our issues. And that's what I'm trusting the Lord for tonight. But anyway, firstly, you get this wounded spirit. And I've spoken about the father wound, you know, the absent father that's not there. Where you have experienced this rejection, so you've got this wound in your spirit now, or in your emotions. You can even change that thing, and I'm saying wounded now. You can change that word and you can say offended. You were offended by this person because of the rejection that you have experienced. But then, you know, God is so great, we read about it, but we don't really see it. God says, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him about it, and then you what? You forgive. You forgive him for what is done to you. But if you have got unforgiveness in your heart, and I know that this is a difficult thing, because, you know, when I was in that place with all my friends disappearing and I'm sitting in the corner here all by myself, it was difficult for me to just forgive that boy. I'm not a saint, please. So, if you've got that unforgiveness in your heart, then you take up this thing. You take up this offense, this thing that you've made your own. And then, as you hold on to this hurt, it starts to become septic in your life. It starts to become bitterness and resentment. So, okay. Tavon, make it a little bit more practical for me. All right. You walk down the street and your best friend doesn't greet you. And you know that she saw you and she didn't greet you. Now, because of that, you feel rejected by her or by him. Now you walk 3 days later and all of the time you're just mulling this thing in your head because you didn't forgive and just release. No. She didn't greet me because this is why she didn't, and this is why he didn't, and he said this, and goes on and on. And then you get this thing stuck in your head that says, yeah, but he deliberately wanted to hurt me. And then you start becoming bitter towards that person. So then for no apparent reason at all, when he comes down this hallway and you see him and he didn't see you, it kind of makes a in your spirit, and then you just walk that way. Because this resentment that you start building up against this person, then you fall into anger. So you get angry. Because yes, and it, you know, I'm saying the easy things. Most of the things that causes us to experience this rejection is legitimate things. Please do not misunderstand me tonight. I'm not saying that you are filthy and you know, just repent or die. Those things are sometimes legitimate things that people tell us or do to us, like with this boy that. You know, took all my friends away. But then you become angry. And that's a difficult place to be. You know why? Because for most of us, for the Val type of personality, you can say, I'm angry with you. And I'm going to smash your nose in. Open anger. You can see that person is angry. You know, what's that thing with Julia Roberts and Richard Gere? Pretty Woman. And that one scene he says, took me how many thousands of dollars to find out that I'm angry with my father. Anyway, so open anger. He did not have that. There's also the hidden anger. You know, when the sons of King David, what's that brother's name that the sister got raped? Amon. He did not go into open anger because of what happened. He kind of harbored it here in his heart. And then what happened? He killed him. And it was nice to him. They sat at the same table, they ate, all of those things. But he harbored this thing in his heart, this anger that was there. And then, when he got the opportunity, he killed that man because of the anger in his heart. Then, leading off this anger of yours and of mine, there might be some low self-esteem in your life. You know, not being able to accept yourself. You know, God had to come and do some serious work in my life. Because now I start thinking, you know, what did I do wrong? Am I not, you know, a good enough guy to also be part of your little Eagles gang? And then you might start thinking of yourself as a second-rand or just a second-rate citizen. I'm not supposed to be here. And that thing, you know, it manifests in different ways. And I've spoken about the pride issue a couple of weeks back. But when you've got that problem, that inferiority complex, because of a low self-esteem, okay? And I see you all, we'll get to the good part now. I just need to explain this. Then, there's two ways that you can go. You can go into performance mode. Everything that you do needs to be done so that you can fit in. So you perform your whole life through, not ever feeling accepted. Not ever feeling that now I'm okay. Or the other side of it is you withdraw. You go and you sit in your little corner. But it's actually the same thing. Because now you withdraw so that you can be noticed. You either withdraw to be noticed or you are performing to be noticed. Same thing. I want to be noticed. Hello? See me. Avatar, I see you. And then, if not checked, any of those things, then we just go into open rebellion and rebellion against God. Because then we figure out for ourselves, you know what? God, you could have stopped that. I guess you're just not interested. Like all the other people. We're not interested in me. So you are the same as all of them. And then you rebel and you turn away from God. And then Satan sits there. Tick. Got exactly what he wanted out of the whole situation. All Satan wants to do is he just wants to put something in your life, just one event, that kind of lets you feel rejected. And then, if you do not know how to deal with that thing, it spirals down. Not always, but 99% of the time, it'll spiral down into you going into rebellion and saying, God, yeah, I don't care. But hallelujah, God is able to heal us and to set us free. Amen? And all of us have felt rejection at some stage. Even as recent as yesterday, or maybe today. I don't know. But God knows. But God says, listen, I am your Abba Father. And I read you in Romans 8, from verse 14 to 17. It says there, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are, who? The sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. You see, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to put you in bondage. But you have received the spirit of adoption by which we can cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. Hallelujah. And this is the big thing. Next weekend, you know, that's where most of the time goes into. Receiving and knowing this Abba Father of ours. Knowing that He is my daddy. I can go to Him. Now let me finish my story. So, I go through high school. But I was performing. Well. But always having this thing in my heart, you know, am I good enough? Am I really good enough? Am I good enough for God? The big question in my heart. So, get to varsity, and I do the course that we are going to do next week. And God nails me down there. And I hear this thing, you know, God, yes, fine. I hear that you are my Abba Father, and I'm your son. I see it. I do not feel it. I'm not feeling like your son. I'm feeling like an illegitimate child that was brought in here just because I look nice. I want to feel that you know me. And this is what you might have known, have heard before. When you ask God to tell you that He's proud of you and you're His boy, He will do it so that you can understand it. Or His daughter. Please don't be offended. It's just the terminology. And I was watching television. And I was watching the Transagalas Rubber Duck Race. And God spoke to me. Telling me that I'm his boy and that he's proud of me through the Transagalas Rubber Duck Race on the television. As that guy came out, his dad was standing next to the camera. And as he's ramping over this wave coming out to beach, his father just shouts, "Well done, my son!" And it's as if God was opening the heavens and into my heart. He yelled those words. Well done, my son. And right there, God turned my illegitimate spirit, you know, this orphan spirit that I had, turned it around, and now I knew God loved me. Liked me even. And all of a sudden, I didn't need to perform so much anymore. Because I knew my Abba, he loves me. Cool. And then God also spoke to me and he said, listen, my son, I said, yes, Abba, I want you to go to this boy of 13 years, how many was it then? 8 years back. Because I knew him, still saw him a couple of times. And then you'd kind of just march around this big elephant in the room. Do you know that expression? When you get into the room, there's this massive, you cannot see it, but this massive elephant in the room. And everybody's walking around it, not speaking about the issue, because we're nice to each other. How are you? No, I'm fine. How are you? No, I'm fine. Yes, how was your week? No, it is fine. And your week? No, it is fine. And then you go fine throughout life and you know you don't settle the issue. The big elephant in the room. So God said, listen, Deval, my boy, I want you to go to that boy and I want you to fix it. But Lord, do you know what he did to me? Do you know all the rejection that I felt because of what he did to me? Were you there? Yes, I was there. Did you see it? Yes, I saw it. You go to him. You fix it. Oh, hallelujah. Now I had to sort out my heart first. Because if I go to him and say, repent or die, that is not a humble and meek spirit that God wants me to have. And God will not be in it. And God dealt with me. He said, well, I love him too. You go to him. Speak to him. And repent. Woo, Lord. Anyway, so I went to him. It took me a couple of tries to get there. Because, you know, if this is his door, then I went and I turned around. Anyway, and then just one day I thought, okay, I might as well knock. I'm here. Anyway, and I spoke to him and I didn't even have to finish my sentence. I said, Mr. X, do you remember in primary school? And that was as far as I got. And he said, yes, Deval. And I cannot believe that I did what I did. Nice. And there I experienced, you know, what that scripture says further. It says, if you go to your brother and you sort out the things, then when he hears you, the scripture says what? You have won him over. You have gained your brother. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden I felt like, dude, where were you? It's like my friend of yesteryear that I've lost all this time with you. I've gained my brother, and we are still friends today. But because of that rejection thing, Satan comes and he wants to destroy your life and many other people's lives. But God wants to come and heal us of that thing. If we can just let our pride go. Because the reason God could do what he did was because I lay down my pride and went to the guy. I did not have to go to him and say whatever. God asked me, and I said, Lord, if you ask me, I will. Humbled myself, laid down my pride, and I went there. So, if there are things like those that, you know, I don't know what your issues are. I don't know where you've been rejected in life. I don't know where they are. Relationships that's hanging in the balance, you might say, because of your pride. And yes, I know that that person might have done something wrong to you. You know Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So even though you might feel that that person has to come to you and repent, God is saying, no, no, no. You go. You fix it. But check your heart first, please. If your heart is still full of this anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, it's not going to work. You need to sort all of those things out with God first. When you've sorted that out with God, then you go to the person. Not to get something back from him, just go to him and say, where you have been wrong, I'm sorry. And there's this thing that you did, you know, when you sorted out your heart and you know it's not you, it's him. Then you go to him and say, listen, Pete, what you said the other day really hurt me. And then he's looking at you. What? But that's not what I meant. And then you're like, oh. And he can tell you what he really meant. Woo, I'm all over my time here. And I've got half my sermon left. Let's fix it. How can I be set free from rejection and this thing? I'm just going to read through it tonight. You can go and you can write down the verses if you want to. Firstly, acknowledge your need for healing. Do not go about saying there's nothing wrong with me. Say, Lord, I've got the problem here. I feel rejected, hurt, offended. Please help me. And he will. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. When you go and you speak and you pray for one another, you will be healed. I watched a movie once, very touching movie. This lady, one night after a son comes back from a party or something, I can't really remember the detail. He goes, and as he gets into a quarrel with this guy, and this guy kills him. And this lady, this mother, she's there when they sentence this other boy to the death chambers. I don't know what they did. But anyway, he's on death row, sitting there waiting to die. And then she feels cool. Got what you deserved. You know, your anger will never satisfy any hurts that you've got. To see vengeance on somebody will never bring that healing that you think you will have from that. So what happens is this lady, even though kind of justice was served, she's mulling this thing over and over and over. And obviously, she works through a lot of issues. But then she just starts going southward. Not eating anymore, she's got ulcers and all of those things. Because of her emotional state that is such, she's physically also going backwards. And I've seen it happen before. Scripture says that a man's spirit can uphold him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? I've seen it in my grandmother. My mother died, and she was fine. 6 months later, she was dead too. Broken spirit. Because there was unresolved things, I know, that she might have wanted to tell my mother, but she couldn't. Anyway, back to the lady. And then that lady decides, listen, I'm going to go to this guy that killed my boy. They were about the same age. And then she goes and she meets him. And then, you know, she goes back. And she starts to get to know this boy. And she gets the opportunity to speak to him, and he could repent towards her for what he's done. And she could see how bad he feels about it. And she could forgive him. And her ulcers cleared away and all of those things. And then, at the end of the movie, when all the family wanted this guy to rot in jail still, he came up for parole or something. Where they were always fighting for him to stay in jail. This woman stood up and she said, I want him to go free. And then, hallelujah, and it's a true story actually. That boy came and he moved in with this lady. One son dead, got another one. Because she went to him, spoke to him, acknowledged her need for healing, confessed, and gave that boy the chance to do it too. Second thing that you need to do is confess your negative emotions. You know, this uncommunicated emotions, that's what gives you the suicide thoughts, the ulcers, the depression. If you start to verbalize your feelings, you start moving in the right direction. Forgive those who have hurt you, Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive your men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. To forgive somebody is a choice. You will never feel like forgiving somebody that killed your son. But you will make a choice. I will forgive you. Mighty, mighty things that happens when you make that choice. And maybe you need to do it a couple of times. Ask God to forgive you for the wrong actions and the wrong reactions that you have against those who have wronged you. And then receive the forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful and just. He will cleanse us when we just come to a place where we repent of our sins. And He will do that. And then receive the Father's love like I needed to. I needed to receive what God has had for me all along. I needed to receive that sonship thing here in my heart. And then start to think God's thoughts. And I've seen this work before. Every time a negative thought comes in whatever issue or situation that you have, then confess God's thoughts over that. What I did once, when I was consistently bombarded by this thing, every time it comes, I stop what I was doing and I said, Lord, I pray for so and so. And I said, you bless him and prosper him and all of that. You know what? 3 weeks later, I wasn't getting those thoughts anymore. Because Satan saw that every time he brings something like that, I pray for somebody else. It's not good for him. So, and speak God's word over the situation. And then just endure. Sometimes, you know, we must take the bull by the horns and then ride out the situation. And endure. Have God cleanse your heart and then keep your heart cleansed towards that person. So will you stand with me tonight, please? And I know I need to finish 15 minutes ago, but I'm sorry. But let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord. And Father, thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, Lord, that brings us to a place, Lord, where we can cry out, Lord, Abba Father, where you are our daddy, the one that comes and says, my boy, my girl, I love you, I like you, you are my son, you are my daughter, I'm really proud of you. And Father, tonight, Lord, I ask, Lord, that if there are any hearts here that do not know that you love them in that way, maybe they've been like I was, Lord, where I did not experience that sonship thing. If there's anybody like that here tonight, I just want you to raise your hand to God. It's not to me. So that God can come and He can touch you and show Him that He wants the best for you and He loves you as a son or as a daughter. Hallelujah. Father, you see the hands raised, Lord God, and I ask, Lord, that you come, Father, in this week, Lord. And Lord, that you, by your Spirit, Lord, just show them your heart for them, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you would just, in this week, Lord God, say, my boy, my girl, I'm so proud of you. Nothing that you can do will make me love you more. Nothing that you can do will ever make me love you less. And Father, also that every heart, Lord God, will understand that in this week, Lord. Holy Spirit, also that you would move, Lord. And Father, that you would do that because you love us, Lord. Because you want to be our Abba Father. And Father, I just come against every lie, Lord God, of Satan that says you're never good enough, you're never going to make it, you are just a failure. And I rebuke that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I also, God, that your Spirit, Lord, will tell us and witness, Lord, in our spirits, Lord God, that we are sons of the Most High God. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. If there's anybody here that have been rejected, and you know that there's some issues that you need to work through, then tonight I want to pray for you too. You don't have to come to the front. But if you know that there's something in your heart that you are offended with people and you feel rejected by them, then tonight I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Any more people? Father, you see these hands, Lord God. And Father, I just come, Lord, and Lord, I pray, Lord God, for every heart, Lord, that has been just subject to the torment, Lord God, of rejection, Lord. Father, your heart breaks, Lord God, for every one of these children of yours that put up their hands now, Lord. Because, Lord, you have sent Jesus to the cross so that we might be accepted. And Father, when we experience that rejection, Lord God, then, Lord, it changes our lives, Lord God. It changes our thinking. And Father, I just come and I just draw a bloodline here tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, in every one of those lives now, Father. And I say the cycle stops here. Every negative pattern, every negative thought, every negative thing, we just cut it off now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we speak your blessing into it, Lord God. We speak your sonship, Lord God. Father, just that place, Lord God, where they can come to you, Lord God, boldly and freely and know, Lord God, that they are accepted, Lord. Because of what you have done. Not of anything that we can do of ourselves, Lord. And Father, I ask, Lord God, that those hearts, Lord God, you come and you restore, Lord, every broken thing. Lord, you say in your word, Lord God, that you will restore all the years that the locusts have eaten. And Father, we just proclaim it over their lives tonight, Lord God. That you restore all the years that the locusts have eaten because of this thing, Lord. And this rejection that was experienced. And Father, we just speak, Lord God, your blessing and your peace over them. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's any needs, any prayer needs, I'll be in front here tonight. I'll pray with you. The Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you and make His face shine upon you. And give you peace as you go into this week. And be the light out there. And don't be illegitimate children to the Father. He wants you to be His Abba, you know, His Abba children, because He's your Abba Father. All right? The Lord bless you. Thank you for coming. Amen.